This is Digital Story Podcast number 921, November 14th, 2023. Today's theme is the 2024 TDS Workshop Season, plus the Sony A9 Mark III Global Shutter. I'm Derek Story. The marquee feature of the Sony A9 Mark III is the global shutter. I interview Zach Sutton from LensRental.com to discuss its significance. Then we roll right into the just-announced photography workshop schedule for 2024. It's an exciting lineup of both online and in-person events. And you're going to want to hear what we're up to. All of this on today's TDS Photography Podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. All right, we're going to start out this week talking about this amazing camera announced by Sony and the significance of its global shutter. And I decided to bring Zach Sutton online because, well, he knows more about this than me. And I thought, okay, let's see what Zach has to say. So we're going to start out the show about the first 10 minutes or so. Zach and I are going to be chatting about the new Sony camera, global shutter, all that good stuff. Then after that, the next segment, we're going to roll right into the 2024 TDS workshop season. I am so excited about this. We have a great lineup. I'm going to go over each event for you and hopefully tempt you into participating in 2024. All right, but first, let's talk about that new Sony camera and the global shutter. So here's Zach and I chatting about it. All right, I have Zach Sutton on the line. And those of you that read the Lens Rentals blog, you're very familiar with his name because he writes most of the posts there. Zach, I'm really glad that you come on today and talk with us for a few minutes about Global Shutter. Welcome to the Digital Story.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
So the Sony A9 Mark III has been announced. It has a global shutter. It has a $6,000 price tag. A lot of people seem pretty excited about this. I thought first, let's talk about global shutter itself and then maybe the impact of the Sony A9.
Yeah, so a global shutter is a really exciting kind of new development within cameras. But basically what it means is, the best way I've ever found to describe it is by saying that your camera's processor is looking at data a lot like you would read a book. So it's from left to right, top to down. If you were to turn a page on a book, that's essentially what the sensor is doing at just an incredibly rapid, from the second you click the shutter button to like it actually showing you the photo, it's doing exactly that. And that's just considered a rolling shutter. And that's pretty much what every DSLR, every mirrorless camera, most every camera has always done, is they capture it pixel by pixel, left to right, top to bottom. A global shutter, on the other hand, is reading all of that data at the exact same time. So instead of thinking of the sensor capturing it pixel by pixel, left to right, top to bottom, it's just capturing the whole page and taking all of that information all at once. That means a couple different things. On the photography side, what that means is, if you're taking a photo and let's say you're using a studio strobe, for example, you've probably noticed that if you take a shot beyond the sync speed, that you're going to get a black bar, or you're going to get incorrect exposure from one side of the frame to the other. And that's simply because the sensor, you know, the shutter's opening, the sensor's trying to read that data as quickly as possible. And we're talking hundredths of a second. And it's capturing that image, but it can't capture that image all the way until the shutter's closing again. So you'll get a black bar or you'll get exposure issues. A global shutter will allow it to essentially have flash sync speed as high as your shutter speed can go, in theory, obviously. So that means you're no longer limited to 1/200th of a second when shooting flash. which is huge if you're shooting outdoors and it's a brightly lit day or anything like that, and you want to overexpose the sun, have your light come through. Now, on the video side, the video people are equally excited because if you've ever shot video, and you can try this with any video camera, essentially, whether it be your professional camera or even your cell phone, if you take a video and you pan left to right really quickly, what will happen is the frame will look like it's almost like jello. It's just going to be wiggling. That's because, again, the sensor is reading that data from left to right, top to bottom. It's not able to read that data fast enough to keep up with the movement that you're using with the camera. Now, of course, a global shutter, since it's reading all of that data in less than a millisecond, it's reading all of that data instantly. What it means is if you're doing like very fast pans left to right or anything like that, you're not going to have that jello effect anymore. The scene is going to be very seamless, very clear from one frame to the next, which is, of course, huge for anybody that's trying to do a video production and have something handheld or have something with a lot of fast movement in the camera. You're able to prevent that jello effect and essentially get far more stable looking footage.
This is totally exciting stuff if you're in one of these scenarios that you're talking about. I know for me, as an event photographer, being able to do fill flash at any shutter speed is just crazy. I mean, that's a dream come true. I could have used that 15 years ago,
Yeah, absolutely.
because that limitation was very difficult to get around. One of the things I had read about Global Shutter is the dynamic range wasn't quite as good. Feels as though Sony has sort of overcome the shortcomings, or at least in their mind, and they feel like now we can offer both. We can offer the Global Shutter and we can offer the image quality that photographers want. Is that your impression as well?
It seems that way. This is, in a lot of ways, the final frontier, or in at least a lot of people's minds, in terms of kind of the one limiting factor with, the processing chips and everything in these cameras. So it seems like Sony has been able to do what was previously impossible. And I suspect in 5 years, every new professional camera will probably have something to this effect. Yeah, the idea of having a rolling shutter and sort of the limitations that come with that, hopefully in a few years, that will be a distant memory.
Of course, if you're a guy that, hikes out into an open field and does landscape photography, I can't really see that this would be much of an issue for you.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I would say 75% of photographers, this isn't going to change their workflow or what they're capable of doing at all. A lot of the people that seem to be really excited about it are either people that use a lot of studio strobes in their settings and use studio strobes outdoors and in studio settings and need to capture fast moving objects. And then, of course, videographers.
So this brings us now to the Sony, the A9 Mark III. Have you had a chance to look at this camera much in terms of at least on a web page?
I have, yeah, I've seen the announcement of it, but I have not been able to hold it or touch it or see it in person yet. But I'm excited for it as well, so.
Because it seems to me that Sony putting forth a camera, a hybrid camera, right? Because it's excellent video, excellent stills. And this is where the global shutter really comes in. Because if you're a photographer that's out in the world, let's say that you're a reporter and you have to do a little bit of everything and under all sorts of conditions you don't have control over, this could be a very exciting camera, right? Because suddenly a big limitation has been removed for you on both the video side and the photography side. I could see certain types of photographers just going crazy over this camera.
Yeah, I mean, as the industry evolves and changes, for example, I'm a commercial beauty photographer and I've never cared much about video, or I've never cared enough to like experiment with video or anything like that. But I find myself even putting my camera in video settings to shoot little clips for Instagram reels, for TikToks, for different things that you need to use to market your business more and more often. So even if it's not something that you think you'll use as often as you might, I think that this is going to be a valuable tool for a lot of people.
Now, you may not want to answer this next question because you are a journalist, but do you shoot with Sony for your work or do you shoot with another brand?
I do not shoot with Sony. I mean, I've gotten to the point where I have shot with Sony, I've shot with Canon, I've shot with Nikon, I've used pretty much every brand over the years. I currently shoot with the Fuji GFX 100S, and that's solely for that medium format sensor and of course the resolution.
Yeah, that's a pretty nice camera. Now, we should note that Zach probably has access to any camera
Yeah, it's a
that
gift and a curse. In fact, I
he
have sitting right next to me the brand new Fuji GFX 100 II, and then right next to that is a Nikon D850 that are both rentals with lens rentals
wants.
that I've been using to test various things.
Are you guys going to get, obviously, you guys are going to get your hands on the new Sony. Is this something that we might see on the blog before too awfully long? Or you guys just had an editorial meeting, I know. Did you talk about it?
Our pre-orders in, we've got pre-orders available on the website. And then in terms of an upcoming review or first impressions, that's just going to be a timing structure. Sadly, well, I mean, not sadly for you guys, but sadly for me, the customer base comes first in terms of the rental queue. So if we are back ordered on orders, it might be a little bit before I can get my hands on one. But we're hoping to have plenty of cameras in stock, and I can snag one for a couple weeks and get a review out on it soon.
I totally appreciate that logic, that business logic that you guys have there. Hey, is there anything I didn't ask you about all of this? I'm feeling like we covered it pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. I think another thing just on the camera perspective, another thing that I feel like has been kind of overshadowed with the global shutter is that the A7 III also can shoot up to 120 frames per second. And that's stills. That's photography holding down the shutter. And that number is absolutely insane to me. I remember, I mean, and I don't want to date myself too much here, but I remember, having cameras shoot 8 frames a second and finding that to be immensely impressive. And then even just a few years ago when, certain cameras were shooting 20 frames a second, that was wild. The idea that this can do continuous shooting up to 120 frames a second at 24, I think it's 24 megapixels, is to call it impressive is a massive understatement.
Exactly. And that just shows how good these computers are that they're putting in the cameras. These are powerful, powerful computers.
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, Zach, thanks so much for Zach just stepped out of a meeting to help us out, and now he's got to go back to work. And you can find his work at lensrentals.com, not to mention all the great cameras, and hopefully pretty soon that new Sony. And the blog is up in the nav bar there, or you can just add slash blog. Thanks so much, Zach. I truly appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks so much, Zach. Thanks for taking time out from your busy day to help us. I'll tell you, a lot of photographers are going to be very happy about this. Fortunately for me, I'm not one of those photographers that need this particular feature, the global shutter, at least not right now. I used to have to do a lot of high sync flash, and I would have loved it back in the day. I shoot some video, but not a ton of video. So I'm pretty happy where I am right now. But I know some of you could really take advantage of this feature. I'm looking forward to seeing what people write about it and what they say about it. But for the time being, at least we know what they're talking about, right? The 2024 TDS Photography Workshop season. Yes, it is announced. It's online. All you have to do is click on the link in the show notes or go to thenimblephotographer.com. Either way, what you'll be able to peruse once you're there are the 6 new workshops for the coming year, 3 online, 3 in person on location. Now, all events are open for registration right now, so let's talk about them and see what's on the menu. I'm going to give you a little bit more detail about them than you could figure out from just hanging out on the workshops page. Let's just roll right through them. I'm going to start out with a brand new online photography workshop, Photo Critique and Building Your Portfolio. And this is going to be in February 2024. And there's a good chance that I might offer a second one if this one sells out quickly. So we'll see. A new workshop like this with a popular, topic, sometimes they go fast. So if you miss out, don't worry too much. A little bit maybe, but not too much. I'm going to try to squeeze a second one in if it sells out quickly. What is it about? Well, it's difficult for photographers to find constructive feedback for their images. And it's even more challenging to determine their strongest work on their own. And I know this because a big part of what we do in the physical workshops on the last day is that each photographer picks 6 to 8 images from the workshop that they want to talk about. And then we discuss them as a group. And it's really fun. I love the presentation. I love looking at the images. I love everything about it. And one of the things that I've learned over the years of doing the workshops is that photographers say this is the one thing you always have to do at the workshop, no matter what else we do. Everything else is great, but we have to do the presentation because I just don't get an opportunity to have my images before other photographers and talk about it in a kind and constructive way. Not like, let's say, on social media, where generally speaking, everyone goes, "Yeah, that's a beautiful shot, right on, yay." Okay, that's great. Or if you go to a camera club photography competition, then it goes the other way sometimes, where you really, have some criticism that doesn't feel so good or isn't framed in a way that's easy to accept. The way that we do it, the way that I do it, is that I really want to help you improve your images. I really want to help you present your best images possible. And there's a very constructive, safe way to do that. We don't have to be mean, but we don't have to be patronizing either. There's a middle ground, and that's where we're going to go with this workshop. So if you've been sitting on images that you're going, "Man, which one should I enter in a photo contest? Which one should I put in my portfolio? Which one should I designate as a star image for printing? Which ones should I pick?" Because we have a hard time doing that ourselves because we can't separate our experience from the image sometimes. A viewer can, right? They're just looking at the image itself. So that's what this workshop's about. Every week, you're going to have a chance to present some images. As a group, we're going to talk about them, and you're going to come away from the Photo Critique workshop with a lot better understanding of what your strongest work is and maybe where to go in the future. And then, if you want to put together a portfolio, which images will probably make the best impression? And that's in February 2024, Photo Critique and Building Your Portfolio. Then in April, we're going back to Sedona. Now, we went to Sedona in the fall this year. It was a fantastic workshop. It was so enjoyable. And I really liked being there in the fall. Fall weather is terrific in northern Arizona. However, I was thinking that wouldn't it be wonderful to try to time the workshop, which is what I'm doing, it's in April, so that if we have a good rainy season or a decent rainy season, maybe we could get some spring flowers on the desert floor and have a whole new dimension to work with in the workshop. Plus, the weather will be different. Everything should be different in terms of what the landscape is presenting to us. So I'm really excited about going back in the spring. We have a terrific place for our headquarters. We have terrific locations to go to. I'm going to add some new locations. Even if you went on the fall version of the Sedona workshop, this is going to be a different event because of the time of year. And even when I go back to a location, I like to mix things up just a bit. So we get the really good stuff from before, but maybe some new stuff in addition. So we're going back to Sedona, Arizona, in-person workshop, April 2024. And I think it's just going to be wonderful to be there in the springtime. In June, we're going to do an online workshop, our infrared photography workshop. This is perennially one of our most popular online workshops. And things are changing again in the IR world. There's new things, new filters, new techniques, new things to talk about. And this is a workshop, honestly, that photographers could take over and over again, because every time we get a different mix of people with different experiences and different viewpoints, the whole thing just kind of shifts a little bit. And of all the workshops, this is probably the online version that has the most repeat customers because of its nature. Like, you're never going to figure out 100% infrared photography because, I mean, it's like figuring out the meaning of life. It really is. There are so many different aspects to it. And just, you know, one little change in your technique and you get a completely different picture. So we're going to do it again in June 2024. Online workshop. It's a lovely event. I really like it. One of the most creative, expressive workshops that we do online. And I'm really looking forward to working with everyone again this summer. Then in August, we're going to bring back the inkjet printing workshop for photographers. We have one that's going to start here in just a couple weeks. That one's full. And I'm still getting requests that, wow, I can't make the one, you know, in November. Are you going to do one next year? So I say, yes, we'll do one next year. As long as there's demand for it, I'm going to keep doing this workshop. And it's another one that I think you could take more than once if you wanted to. There's always new things to talk about in inkjet printing, but we're doing this online event in August this year. I'm only going to do one this year. So if you want to do inkjet printing, make sure you sign up for it, because this will be it, because we've got lots of other stuff going on. I love doing this workshop, but I also like doing some of the other topics that we're doing as well. So inkjet printing in August 2024. Then in October, we are going to a new location for Digital Story. We are going to Durango, Colorado, and Mesa Verde National Park. And I'm thoroughly excited about this. I've been researching the best time to go there to increase our odds for autumn color, because as a lot of photographers know, autumn in Colorado can be just breathtaking. And we're going right now. I have it scheduled for October 1 through 4. The only thing I'm waiting for to finalize those dates, I'm waiting for the Durango events calendar to come out for 2024, because I don't like having our workshops when some other big event is happening. So I want to make sure that that week doesn't have, you know, some ginormous thing where all the hotels are going to fill up and all that kind of stuff. But once the event calendar clears, then I want to go in early October. We're going to do all sorts of stuff here. Obviously, we're going to spend time around Durango because it is just such a cool place to hang out and photograph. We're going to ride the train to Silverton. I mean, we have to do that. You can't go to Durango and not ride the train to Silverton and then hang out in Silverton. We're going to go to Mesa Verde, and I'm going to line up a tour for us led by a ranger so we can get into the really cool spots in Mesa Verde, which you can only do if you're accompanied by a ranger. So the photography in Mesa Verde ought to be fantastic. So this workshop's going to combine landscape photography, Old West photography, archaeological photography. It's going to be a feast for the eyes. October 2024, we are going to Colorado, Durango, Mesa Verde, and a lot more. And then in November, we're going to have another in-person workshop. Safari West, sometimes referred to as the Sonoma Serengeti, was a staple of my workshops in the early days. And then I hadn't been back to it for a while. I've been there myself personally, but I hadn't done a workshop there in quite a while. And I was just going, man, wouldn't it be nice to go back? Well, let me tell you a little bit about it. It's located on 400 rolling acres in the foothill mountains surrounding Santa Rosa. And it's home to hundreds of African animals, including exotic birds, mammals, and reptiles. Now, one of the things that they do, and this is one of the reasons why I like Safari West so much, is they have their regular tours, which are fantastic enough as they are. And they have these really cool vehicles that are open on the sides and you can climb up on top and all that kind of stuff. So that you always have a beautiful view 360 of what's going on around you. But they also do photographer tours. Now they're a little bit more expensive, but you don't have to worry about that because it's included in the workshop fees. And that is led by a photographer going to places and getting angles that photographers like. So we're not just going through learning about the mammals and stuff. We're going there to photograph these beautiful, beautiful animals in a very natural, wonderful setting. These aren't animals behind bars and stuff. What they have is they have these giant open areas for the animals to live. And they live like the Cape buffalo. There's a Cape buffalo herd there that, lives in this giant open area. And when we go, we have to be careful because they're Cape buffalo and they get annoyed easily. And we're photographing them in this environment that's their home. And it's just fantastic. I just love it. It's exciting. The images are really terrific. I've posted some images online, with the workshop description, so you can see some of the animal shots that I've taken just being there as a tour guide and not even, really working. I'm taking care of everyone else. This is going to be a blast. And that's only one day of the workshop. So we're doing that one day. Then we're going to have a wine experience one day, and it's going to be at a different winery than we did for this year's wine experience because, well, we have a lot of wineries to choose from, and there's a whole bunch more on the list that I wanted to go to. But you can only do so many wineries in one workshop. So we're going to do one day dedicated to a wine experience. We're really going to learn about the viticulture. You're going to get to photograph these areas. You're going to get to go behind the scenes. You're going to have a wine tasting led by a wine educator. That's going to be a day. And then we're going to get out to the Sonoma coast, which is just one of the most beautiful coastlines, I think, in California, and personally, I think, in the world. And so we're going to spend a day doing coastal photography on Sonoma coast, wine experience, Safari West, all of this in one workshop is really going to be a great time. And that is in November of 2024. Now, I have a couple other possibilities, and I'm just going to wait and see how things fill up. But I'm also open to the idea of doing an online workshop for the OM1 camera. I've had a lot of requests. We did a Mastering Micro Four Thirds workshop last year. But I think there's enough OM1s out there now that we could do a workshop just focused on the OM1 and really drill down into that. So if you're interested in that workshop being added to the schedule, please drop me a line. Let me know. Let me know because if there's interest, I'll find a way to squeeze it in. Also, we might do another portfolio workshop, another photo critique online workshop. So there's lots going on, but there's lots there right now. Go over to thenimblephotographer.com, peruse, and reserve your spot. These things fill up quickly. They don't cost a lot to reserve your spot. So you can get in there, save your seat, and then start planning for what I think is just going to be a terrific workshop season. I'm so looking forward to working with you folks in 2024. All right, let's take care of a little virtual camera club news. I'm going to start out with our Patreon members, because they're so important to everything that we're doing. And this is a time of year where they really benefit as well. Patreon members find out about the workshop schedule ahead of time, and they get a discount, a 10% discount on all the workshops. So you can imagine how much that adds up to for a physical workshop, right? It's nice. For example, our Safari West Wine Country workshop is going to be $1,295. That includes the private tour, Safari West. That includes, the wine country, the wine education, the wine experience. That includes, all the stuff that we do during the workshops, all part of that price. And if you're an Inner Circle member, that means you get basically $130 off that price. That's more quite a bit more than the $5 a month you would spend by being an Inner Circle member. So I like to reward them because they take such good care of this community. They're enjoyable to hang out with, the Inner Circle members. There's just all upside, no downside to it at all. If you want to learn more about joining this group, hanging out with them online, possibly participating in some of these events, all you have to do is click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. Nose around there, and if you sign up, the minute you sign up, you have access to the discount code and all the benefits. It's fun, and it really helps this community a lot. And finally, a big shout out to our friends at Red River Paper. Boy, we're going to be talking a lot about them here in the next couple of weeks when we start working on the printing workshop. A lot of the knowledge that I share during the printing workshop comes from our friends at Red River Paper. I really appreciate their support and their help. They are passionate about inkjet printing. They're really knowledgeable about inkjet printing, and they share everything they know at their site, which you can access by clicking on the tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. They also have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. They supply, I think, the finest inkjet printing paper in the business. They also have a wide variety of surfaces, styles, cuts, all that good stuff. Templates, projects, how to pick the right paper for what you want to accomplish, what kind of photo you have. They'll help you find the right paper for that. If you want to get into inkjet printing, which I highly recommend, click on the tile, all the pages of Digital Story, start looking around, get yourself some paper. Holidays are coming up, and I'll tell you, fine art cards, prints, they make terrific holiday gifts. Red River Paper, longest running sponsor of Digital Story, and a big thanks to them for supporting this podcast. Roy's going to do it for me this week. I am totally excited about the workshops. I hope you are too. Working on some great stuff for next week. Make sure you come back and join us. Until then, be creative, take some pictures. See you next Tuesday. Bye bye now.